right, folks, it is that time of the week again for the Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic Show. I am your host, Mark the Lanyard Crew Wheeler. And we've got a good show tonight, folks. We're going to talk about some fun stuff. We're going to focus in on the year 2012 and what, you know, you can expect from the KFR Mid-Atlantic Show. It'll be packed full of information, jokes, maybe a little crying. You never know. We'll all have some fun. So let's get this started. Remember, folks, you can always call in. The number to know is 714-816-4727. And of course, folks, if you want to do it by Skype, we are working on getting the Skype number put into the website. So this way you can call in for free. Skype to Skype is free. And the talk box room thingamajigger is City of Ash. What's going on, man? Can you hear me, dude?
Hey, what's up, man?
All right. What's going on, man?
I had you on mute. I didn't realize it. Cheers. What's up, everybody?
Have a good Christmas.
Absolutely. It's good times. Just got back from Delaware 2 days ago.
Cool.
Hit up Kitt Peak last week and on Monday. It's good times.
Cool, man. Cool. Yeah, I was out of Kipto late last week and into Christmas, basically.
Nice.
I didn't stop fishing there until the wife called me home. So.
Oh, fishing's still good down there. And it's unfortunate the season closes in a couple days, but.
Yeah, that's the way it works for me always. When it really starts kicking off is when I can never get out there, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man. Well, good to hear that you had a safe trip and everything. That's important. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Every safe trip is important.
Yeah. Definitely. Let's see here. What we got going on? Chip, you there? Can you hear me? You busy? We do have the tree hugger Chip Gibson in the house, but he is dealing with technical issues, and he's still working on them. Okay. Now let's talk about the chat room people. Of course, City, you're in there. Mr. Olson was waiting for us. Oh, we start the chat room and everything. What's going on, Didi? We have two guests. I can pretty much tell you that would be the Loziers. And then we have the Hammerhead, the newest. Oh, hang on. Big time news. Hang on. Got to find my news reel. Hang on. Down here somewhere. There it is. News of the day. Hammerhead. Okay, stop playing. Our Hammerhead, Greg Crisp, has been accepted as a Malibu Pro Staffer. That is Malibu Kayaks. Congrats, buddy. You know, you definitely deserve it. You especially deserve it after the slog we had to go through in Jacksonville. So, let's see here. Who else do we got? Mr. Loziers finally showed up. What's going on? And then Steve Chapman at the very bottom. And a bad backhash showed up. What's going on, man? Robbie? What's going on? All right. So that's formal introductions. Good that you all are here. Let's talk about some fishing.
What's
I
that?
Luckily went out. That was the head. What's going on, Chip?
I'm back, man. Played around with all of it. Now I got the phone ringing again. So, so we're not letting the cat out of the bag. We're not going to say who our new who our new guest hosts are going to be, right?
Yeah, but they keep kicking me out of my out of the chat room. I'm going to get mad.
You're going to get mad?
It's okay, I'll just kick them back out. So,
I gotta go figure out something.
Okay.
I'll be back.
Figure.
I'll be back.
Alrighty. Alright. Yes, folks, you want to listen to tomorrow night's show if you're not a, if you listen often, because we've got some news that, of course, the tree hugger, the Thursday night host, the original Kayak Fishing Radio host, has to tell himself, and we'll more than likely let him do that. All right. But this past, the night before, got out to the HRBT. Folks, if you're looking for a larger class of striper, except for the small ones we had earlier in this winter or fall, low 20s was what we caught catching earlier. There's still some of them around the HRBT, which is what I'm talking about, folks. Lightline striper bite is still hot. You can still have a lot of fun catching these fish. And there's bunker around. That is awesome. I was throwing one of my custom bucktails. It looks like a bunker, and I was pulling up through schools of bait I can see in the fish finder, and got a hook in bunker. So that's a good sign that we still have bunker in the water. I can't play music that's licensed. Huh. Anyway, I'm confused. Anyway, chat room stuff. People are talking smack. Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, pulling through and catching foul hook and bunker. But when I made it through the school without foul hooking it, now I was burning it through the school, meaning I was reeling, letting it hit the bottom, and then reeling it really fast. Punching it through the school bait, and then as soon as I got out, because you can feel it through the braid, you're actually hitting the fish with the line or the bait. As soon as wouldn't feel it, I'd snap the rod tip a couple of times real sharply. Just kind of give it an erratic action. I would get slammed by these high 20s, 26, 27, 28-inch stripers, all fat, really, really fat. And it was a very, very fun night. Came home with my two, all in the high slot, 26 inches. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. And no, I did not play Five Finger Death Punch. I was playing it through my speakers, through the phone, in the pre-show, in the tan kayak room. Instead of the green room, folks, here at KFR, we have the tan kayak room. So, all right. Talking smack in the chat room. So, folks, if you're listening to the podcast, you're going, why do you keep all of a sudden diverting, losing his mind? Well, it's because we have a chat room. And you can join the chat room by listening live Wednesday nights at 8 Eastern Standard Time and calling in and having fun. Let's see here. So, City, what are you guys catching up there, man, in Jersey? I'll give you a minute to unmute yourself while I talk.
I haven't been fishing up here since I was down in Cape May last month, and that was just a big tog run down there.
Right.
I'm actually hanging the kayak up for the winter, I believe, unless something happens.
Is that going to try for some lake bass or some crappie?
Nah, we're getting ice on the water up here now, so.
Break through it, man. I was breaking through the ice last year.
Haven't tried it. But think about hanging it up until February.
No, what I was doing was I took a handle from an axe handle,
Okay.
Paddle, crack the ice, and you'll actually sink through the ice, and then you can get up to where it's, you know, solid again, push yourself up, crack the ice, and keep on going until you find a wet spot.
What, you got a double-hull kayak over there?
What's that?
You got yourself a double-hull icebreaker kayak?
I have a Wilderness Systems ride. The only kayak you ever need. Two thumbs
kidding.
Up, smile.
Yeah, that's cool. I actually want to look for a new boat. I'm actually on my first boat. I've been fishing for 2 years out of the kayak now. And I just bought a cheapo Perception Caster just to try out the sport, see if I liked it. And I ended up really getting into it. So
good, man.
In the market for a new one. Something a little more stable out there, you know, in the ocean. Something good for surf launching. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong, you know. That's one of a boat that I had for a while, too, man. So it's a decent kayak. It gets you around, gets you on the fish, and really can solidify your love of the sport. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's just a few downsides to it that I'm tired of is the seat has no scuppers, so your butt is wet the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and... Yeah, you can wear dry pants all you want. You're still going to get wet through that after time.
Yes.
That's called duck butt.
Yes.
or as a friend of ours says, monkey butt. You do not want to get monkey butt.
Nah, it's rough. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but other than that... we'll see what happens more in the late winter, early spring. For me, I'm pretty much done.
All right. Cool. Well, you know, that's the nice thing about this time of year is that as everyone else gets off the water, and we're going to talk tonight, folks, about bass fishing this time of year and how it can, you know, how it can be beneficial to us as kayak fishermen, it's going to, you know, I think this will open up a lot more doors for people because you have people that keep on sending you private messages in the chat room and they keep making my head divert away from it, so please stop. let's get right to it. Folks, fishing this time of year for largemouth bass is a lot of fun. People go, well, how's it fun? You're freezing your butt off. I don't freeze when I'm fishing this time of year. And people ask me, you know, why? Well, you should be freezing. It's 30 degrees outside. You crazy. No, I'm not. I prepare myself. I went out and bought the proper gear. Folks, you can find the proper gear if you just look for it. Under Armour. I cannot stress this enough. I love Under Armour gear. It's thin. It's lightweight. It's breathable. It keeps you warm. And, yeah, you're going to spend a little bit of money, but, you know, you pay for what you get. And I get comfortable, you know, top and bottom, skull cap. It keeps me warm all day, all night. No problems. I even went out and bought the battery-powered socks. Okay, so now I don't have to waste $5 a shot on the hand warmers that 9 times out of 10 don't work for me, for whatever reason. So now I'm warm there. And for my hands, I have the old-school neoprene surf cast. I call them the surf casting gloves because all the fingers are tore out of them, and a pair of wool gloves as my backup. I'm warm. I carry a thermos of coffee just in case. And I keep on rolling. Water temps here are running between 47 and 50 degrees on the salt, 45 and 50 depending on the day and how much wind and, you know, the direction of the sun, which way my wife wakes up in the morning, if she's, you know, happy or nice or naughty. You know, between 45 and 50. There, Jason self in the chat room. See, folks, if you listen and live, you can do that too. In the chat room, I answer it. Pretty cool. But I digress. But yeah, plan for what you're fishing, folks. Another thing, stocking foot waders. Great for when the temps start to dip a little bit. But if you have a problem with your feet getting cold, and that is my only downside, is when my feet get cold, I'm done. I am done. I can sometimes push through it, but most of the time, I get off the water, and I do not like stocking foot waders this time of year. It is way too cold, way too windy, and I like to keep my feet in the water. And the moment I bring them out, put them down, my feet turn into icicles. I don't know what it is, so I do not, even with the heated socks, my toes freeze. So I stick to the boot footers, the boot waders. I have no problem getting back in and out of my kayak. You know, no issues at all. You know, people say, oh, they're clunky and I can't get in and out of the kayak with them. I wave the flag because there's no difference between that and wearing the old shoes on your, you know, old, you know, Converses on your feet, you know, protecting the stocking foot, or wearing clogs or Crocs or whatever else. It just seems kind of weird. Okay, I'm actually turning off my chat room because I keep on getting private messages that keep screwing me up. But wear what you're comfortable with. Like for me, the boot foots, because I do a lot of wading in and out of areas that have rocks and stuff like that. We'll tear up those stocking foots quick, and I do not need that problem. All right. Yes. Wader belts. Folks, you can go out and spend a lot of money on a wader belt, and I'd behoove it if you do. But if you have a situation where you forgot it at home, take the belt off your jeans and use those. It's a wading belt. Same concept. Just make sure it's nice and cinched down tight, okay? And you should be okay. Just be careful it doesn't punch a hole through your waders. You know, I see some that look like back straps that you wear if you had a bad back. You don't need to go that extreme, but you can, and, you know, for sake of safety, you know, prefer if you would. So you're all dressed up, ready to go on the water. What are you going to use? If you talk to a lot of people, they're going to say, small baits this time of year. You have to use small baits. It's a key. You have to do it. Bass will need a big bait. And I look at them and I go, yours. And how many bass have you caught? Over 10 pounds? You know, over 8, over 6? Okay. Folks, use baits you would use during any other time of the year. Please use those. Don't change anything. That'll screw you up more than you know. Downgrading to a smaller bait will just mess with your head. Because you'll still work it as fast. As fast, if not faster, or incorrectly, than your regular bait. So let's break down what baits we're going to use this time of year. The number one that you should always have tied on this time of year is a jerk bait. There are some great ones out there. Some new ones that are just insane. But if you do not have a Rebel jerk bait, the old Rebel or Bomber Long A in black, in a shad color, or silver with a blue top with some red on it, you're wrong. Go with the original. Go with the old school. They're going to dive to about 5 feet, depending on the line, and they're just deadly, absolutely deadly this time of year. Ash, do you have any old Rebels? Check, check. Mic 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay. But apparently he still got on mute or walked away. But yeah, those old school dates work great this time of year. And, you know, I show people them, they go, well, that's way too big for this time of year. Folks, it's not like, you know, the fishing gods, you know, put their dip their rods in the water and said, okay, all the bait fish in the water here, you know, have just magically turned smaller. No, all the bait stayed the same, all the same size. Match the hatch. If you have 3-inch shad in this lake, in any lake, or, you know, wherever, use the, you know, a bait that's going to match that size. Okay? That's what the bass are eating. All right? You might find some crawls, but 9 times out of 10, it's shad, it's bluegill, perch, crappie. If you have a lot of crappie in your lake, you should be using a crappie-style jig, swim jig. Yes, I said swim the jig. Swim jig, or, you know, white, you know, greenish color with black threads running through the jig. Slash bait, jerk bait with, you know, some red and black dots, silver, you know, things like that are just, you know, baits you have to have this time of year. You know, if you have a lake that doesn't have a lot of huge shad, but has bluegill that you know bass eat, don't stop using baits like that. Next bait you should always have with you is a big spinner bait. What I mean by big? I mean a big Colorado blade. Anything over, you know, the blade has to be wider than an inch, okay, and has to be heavy. We're talking 1/2 ounce, 3/4 ounce. Why? Well, the reason is this. The bass are suspended right off the bottom, usually. If you have a warmer day, they'll be a little higher up, but 9 times out of 10, they're sitting about 6 inches, 6 to 6 feet off the bottom, depending on the depth of your lake. And it's a... I'm really starting to hate my co-host tonight. Jesus. Sorry, folks. What was I at? This lost my track. Oh, bugger. Oh, spinnerbaits. Depth. I'm looking up my notes. Hang on. Okay, I know where I'm at now. folks, if I could, if he wasn't my boss, but 6 inches, 2 to 6 feet is the usual norm. The local lake by where I live, you're looking at fish hanging in a water. And the lake is no more than 8 feet deep in a lot of areas. So that's pretty broad generalization, pretty much the whole water column for this lake. But if you have a shallow lake, no more than, I'm going to say, 10 feet, you can generally say between 6 inches to 6 feet. Why 6 inches and not directly on the bottom? Well, during the winter time, you usually have a predominant thermocline, which can really... screw up the fishing, screw up their oxygen level. Basically, when you have the thermocline, the fish won't want to sit as far down. It has a lot less oxygen in the deeper sections of the lake. Now, if it's shoreline, they're going to be right against the bottom. And so, you're going to want that bait to run about 1 to 2 feet off the bottom, okay? Now, the reason for the big Colorado blade is that you want to be able to get a good thump good vibration, a lot of water displacement, because, you know, it just works this time of year. With that big thump, big water displacement, it's going to get their attention from a distance, and it's going to really anger them. And you're not looking to really hit a feed, you know, not like in the summertime where they're just or the spring or the fall where they're just gorging on shad, where it's just a feed bite. You're looking for a reaction. Okay, I'm angry. I'm going to eat this because it's ticking me off, kind of thing. That's why guys use jigs, and they let them sit on the bottom, and they work them, and they work them, and they work them until their brains want to be blown out of the side of their head, because they're just sitting there working the same bait over and over and over and over and over and over again. So it's in the same spot no more than 6 inches. It just drives them nuts. Yeah, I'm angry. Anyway, you know, that's one bait. Another one, if you have, you know, a swim jig, folks, we're talking using, you know, quarter-ounce swim jigs with a big, bulky trailer. Strike King makes a great one, the Rage Craw. I take paddle tails like Bass Assassin, Marsh Works. There you go, Lozier, a little push for you. Dumper works great to be able to, you know, cast it out there and create a lot of water displacement with that tail, create that vibration. But I'm swimming that thing right down the middle of the water column. If I'm fishing a lake and, you know, it's 10-foot depth, I'm running that thing at 5 feet. It really works the water column right, and it can really bring the bass up. When I have a week of really warm water weather, don't forget to try using a topwater. A popper, a frog works great. Take a pause for a second. We have a caller. 918, you're on the air.
Hey, man, what's going on? This is Nate from Oklahoma.
Hey, what's going on, Nate?
Not too much. I'm normally a podcast listener, last night you said that you were going to take a hiatus from the show for a while.
That was a bad backcast. Every night of the week we have different hosts to give us a different perspective on the kayak fishing world. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I got my nights messed up, man. I'm all screwed up from being off work for Christmas. I totally forgot that tonight is the landing cruise, so it's all good, though. I can listen to some bass fishing stuff.
There you go. And you're in Oklahoma, which means you fish a lot of bass, usually.
That's primarily all I fish for, not for any other reason. I just enjoy it.
Right. So what's your best wintertime bait, man?
Well, I tell you, this is the first year that I've really tried to seriously fish in the wintertime. And I know most guys go to crankbaits and things like that. And I typically try to stay away from treble hooks.
Right.
And so far this year, about the only thing I've had any real success on has been a Zoom Magnum Trick Worm on a shaky head. I can't get them to leave it alone. And every time I go out, you know, I try an assortment, and I always end up coming back to that. And it's worked every time
confidence.
I've been out.
It's your confidence bait.
Well, if I was going to say I had a confidence bait, I'm a jig fisherman at heart.
Right.
I always throw a jig. And pretty much anything, I get in trouble with my friends for saying this, but everybody likes topwater baits, but I would rather fish a jig or something like that than a topwater. And the slower the presentation, the better I like it for some crazy reason.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong with a good jig, worked real slow, over top of those, getting that reaction bite when you hit that tree, and you pluck the line, because I'll do a crankbait pluck. You know how I think Rick Clun or Stacey King calls it, the pull the arrow, where you pull the line back and you snap it and it pops off. I'll do that with a jig and get an awesome reaction bite out of that sometimes. But yeah, I love jig fishing. That stuff is awesome. Now, is this Paddle Trucker?
That would be me, correct?
Okay, hey, what's going on, man? You started talking about it, and I'm like, wait a second. And Greg Hammerhead, Greg Crisp, was the one who mentioned, I think that's Paddle Trucker.
Yeah, I don't. I'm driving, so I'm not. I'm usually driving this time of night, and so I don't get to get in the chat room or anything like that.
Right. Well, man, welcome. It's I've been watching, or have known you now through boards and kayak bass fishing and stuff like that now for 2 years now.
Oh, gosh, I don't know how long I've been member to each individual side. I got my kayak in 06 or 07, I guess, and I don't know what boards I started out on and how long I've been with each one, but,
right.
Yeah, I'd say a couple of years is a pretty safe bet.
Cool, man. Well, definitely welcome. It's good to have you on. But yeah, those dangling trick worms on that shaky head is definitely a good pattern for this time of year, you know, especially on your water bodies of water that have a lot of current or have a lot of water movement, where that thermocline can never really set up real heavily, like in static natural lakes. It works very, very well. So, cool, man. Yeah, you were. People keep ticking me off. The people in the chat room enjoy sending me info through private posts that are just off the wall, and it breaks my focus. Because my multitasking skills aren't quite there yet. So.
Well, I tell you, I'm real close to kind of backing my schedule up so that I can sit still and get in this chat room while the show's playing. But I'm tired of hearing everything a day late, and I'd like to hear it live.
Well, yeah, you're gonna want to definitely call in tomorrow night. We've got some news to break out, and you definitely want to hear about it. So. Give you that heads
up. Cool. Hopefully, let's see. I'm headed to. I've got an ice cream truck I have to deliver in Kansas City tomorrow, so hopefully I'll be turned back around and headed home when that if I can call in.
Definitely. Sorry. All right, back to what I was talking about before. We're talking about jigs. Yeah, swimming a jig this time of year works very well. Even stroking a jig. If you don't know what stroking a jig is, it's simple. It's you fish a jig like you normally would. You cast it out, let it hit the bottom, you let it sit there. You count to 20, and I'll let it sit there for at least a 20 count. Then I'll take it. And you're going to want a high-speed reel for this, folks. Because what you're going to do is you're basically going to jerk it, from a 3 o'clock to an 11 o'clock. Reel in, jerk. And almost bring that thing to the surface and let it drop back down again. Then just let it sit. And you're going to want to do it as fast as possible. So this way it's going almost vertical to the surface, back down. So this way, you're creating that reaction bite. Stroking a jig, and not the meat stick, Rob, is key for getting a really heavy-duty reaction bite. And then, my go-to baits any time of the year. Crankbaits, deep diving crankbait with a big throbbing bill on it. You know, the bigger the bill, the better. So I want to bring that bait to the bottom and create a new channel out of it. You know, run it real slow. Because once you get to the, down there and it's stuck in the mud, you can work that bait real slow. And you know what? I'll actually break it down and remove the middle treble, add a couple suspension dots from Storm, and then change the back one out if I'm really looking for a real wide wobble and put a circle hook on there. Like a 4 or 5 aught wire sucker hook. And that'll reduce my urge to set the hook this time of year. Because those bass will come up and they'll just barely grab it. If you set the hook, a lot of times they'll just open their mouth and you'll miss them. But if I just keep cranking and I come real tight all of a sudden, and all of a sudden that line starts moving in an unnatural direction, you know, that means I've got the bass. And I'll just give it a quick pop and he's hooked up. So that's one little tip of the day from me. Thank you, children. So definitely, you know, try that one out. Rattle traps. There's a great one out now from, I think, Cotton Cordell just brought it out. Instead of having the two treble hooks on the bottom, or the one treble hook on the bottom and one on the tail, it's got a treble on top, right behind where you tie the line. I'm going to look it up right now. So I saw it, I'm like, ooh, that's a great idea. I believe it's Cotton Cordell. I'll find it later. But definitely is an excellent bait for this time of year. You can really work that rattle trap pretty much as long as you keep that jig moving, you know, stroking it, like I said before, yo-yoing, you'll find fish this time of year, especially if you find bait. If you find a big school, backstabber crankbaits. Those are the ones that created that monstrosity. Pretty darn cool, actually. They even got a crankbait. That's how they do the crankbaits, too. Huh. Neat. So, but yeah, definitely check that out. Definitely works very, very well. Yo-yoing a rattle trap is just, for me, just works so much better than cranking or spinner baits or anything else. And then, you know, the old go-tos, worms, big worms. Throw swim baits this year, too, if you find the shad. You'll be surprised how well you can get on them. But anyway, now, what you're going to be looking for, see, folks, this is what happens when I keep checking the chat room. I keep losing my mind. But when you get in on the fish, or you get on the lake and you're starting to scan, where should I start fishing? Pre-scouting is key. Find a map. You know, take experience from the summertime before you get out there. What you're going to look for is predominant points. Places where the bass can easily go from, you know, deep to shallow, shallow to deep, and have cover the whole way up. Points, ledges, ridges, trees. If you have an area that has a couple of freestanding trees, that can be the same thing as a ledge, ridge, point, whatever. Little things like that. Now, if you have, you know, a point with trees, even better. You know, those are all key areas you're going to want to work. Baits, you know, so you use those baits all around them, but have a bunch of baits at your disposal. Don't just hit a point like you would in the summertime or spring or early fall and, you know, throw a couple times, oh, they're not here, move on. Work the area with a different set of baits, different water column, you know, really work it over. Cause you might be, and change your approach. If you come at it and, let's say, the point is coming from your right to your left, right is shallow, left is deep, you know, and you're fishing it and you're floating around it, you're changing your whole direction of where you're putting that bait. even going 5 feet deeper, you know, from where you're starting the retrieve of your bait can change their whole demeanor. It could set off the bite, or you could completely miss it. And that's why if you're going to work a spot, work it from as many different angles as possible. And you'll be very, you'll be very surprised, you know, that even a small movement can really put, you know, get those fish going. You know, and don't be surprised if you, all of a sudden you start to see shad hitting the top of the surface and big boils. There will be areas where you get a natural spring where that water is going to be 5 degrees warmer than, you know, than the rest of the lake. And you'll see even bass hit topwater baits in these areas. I know a couple spots in some local lakes where there's a natural spring that pulls up that is always, it never gets below, I think it's 50 degrees, which is warm. That's like, you know, pre-spawn water. So those bass are always active there. They always pile up there. It's always a good bite. You know, and take a trip, folks. Find a warm water discharge from a nuclear plant, coal, you know, from a power plant. You'd be very surprised at, you know, you're wearing, you know, you got ice forming on your kayak, but you're, you know, catching bass off of buzz baits, you know, and the water is 70 degrees. It's insane. It's a great way to break apart the winter blues, the cabin fever a little bit. For those of us with smallmouth rivers that haven't iced over, oh, man, find those wintering pools. What's a wintering pool? A wintering pool is a deep section of slower moving water. Sometimes, I'm not talking rapids here in river flow, but has some water movement going through it. But it's an area where the smallmouth can sit, ambush prey easily, and can, again, transverse that water column from shallow, flat area when it's warmer to deep water when the ice starts moving through or they have, you know, a flood or whatever. Baits this time of year. A jerk bait is, you know, a 4 to 2 inch jerk bait is like crack. If you know that there's, you know, small minnows, it's like that going through this water. You'll be very surprised at how many smallmouth you can catch and of size. I mean, just insane numbers. Creature baits. Remember, folks, rivers have a lot of bugs in them, a lot of, you know, halger mites, I guess is what you call them. Grubs, stuff like that, funky little things that, you know, the buggy whip people use, you know, that gives you a great ability. You know, take what they use and bulk it up to a bigger size, and now you can use it for smallmouth. Creature baits, tubes. I'm going to give a shout out to Confidence Baits. These guys make some great river smallmouth baits. Jeff Little, I think, is a major go-to guy for them and makes some great baits just for smallmouth fishing. And they work, needless to say. But definitely check them out. So they, like I said, they make some great baits for smallmouths. But, you know, using an inch and a half, two-inch tube, you know, using a creature bait, using surprisingly, I found that if you can find it, Strike King came out with the Rage Rooster, and it's a creature bait, but it looks kind of weird. They made one that was 2 inches, and I found it one time. And I bought 2 packages of them, and I use them strictly when I hit the James River, which is just up the road, about 2 hours from where I'm at, for winter smallmouths. And it's absolutely killer. So definitely check that out. You know, smallmouths love the cold. So when it starts, you know, this time of year, anywhere below the Mason-Dixon, you can really get in some great, great smallmouth fishing. And if you know Jeff Little and hasn't frozen up in Dutch country, definitely check out the Susquehanna. Get a hold of him. Get a hold of Juan Verroot, kayakfishpa.com, I think is their website. But definitely check that out too. It's two excellent smallmouth fishermen
in Pennsylvania. So, but, you know, look for those winter and pools. Those are some, you know, really nice areas. Now I'm looking at the chat room. I'm going to break off for a second. See here. Well, I'm reading the chat room. Folks, I just read the chat room, and after so many bad comments, I've kind of weeded through it, and no, I did not go pee. I was reading the chat room, and I didn't want you to be talking and blank out like this. I didn't try to remember what I was talking about. So I just put everyone on, you know, like the SNL, Saturday Night Live's got, what's his name? You know, okay, everyone, you know, talk amongst yourselves, you know, for a minute kind of situation. So, let's see here. Yeah, the music was pretty bad. All right, we got City of Ash back on. What's going on, man?
Hey, man, I charged my cell phone a little bit so I can walk around and stuff, but I'm back on.
Cool.
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys have any of those hybrid freshwater bass down there?
The stripers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a couple of lakes around our area that have them. And actually, that was a great point. If you can find a lake with those on them any time of the year, you can really tear them up this time of year.
Yeah, there's a pretty decent-sized lake around here that has them landlocked. And they're really good fish, but I can't seem to catch one. So you got any pointers?
Well, first things first is you got to find the bait. Do you have a fish finder?
Sure.
Okay. And, you know, find the deeper portions of the lake. Usually is how I catch them. Is I'll just paddle around until I find a bait ball with a bunch of good marks around it. And then I use a spoon, like a big flutter spoon,
okay.
and vertical jig them. Works really well. A big spinner bait will work, or a decent-sized spinner bait. Crankbaits. Use a bucktail. You know, think saltwater stripers, but break it down.
You're trying
to
get on the bottom most of the time, because usually I'm just trying to troll them up, you know?
Yeah, take a quarter-ounce bucktail. Whitehead, white trailer is what works up here, and throw on a grub. Usually, for us down here, I use a June bug colored grub with a big tail on it that gives off a lot of vibration.
Nice.
And you know, cast that out, you know, almost past the school. Let it sink down a little bit. So you know, if you're sitting in 20 foot of water, get it down to where the top of the school is. And then, you know, work it back, kind of like you would if you were trying to think of a technique. Think rapid. Think like you're walking the dog, how you're constantly moving the tip, the rod tip. Same thing with the bucktail.
Right.
Make it swim. I'll swim it back to you, and you'll be surprised how many you'll get.
Yeah, I'll have to try that out next time. There's this guy there with a Hobie. He's always trolling around, and he catches a lot of them. I try to do what he does, and I can't do it. By trolling, yeah.
Is he running live bait?
Nah, he's trolling around like crankbaits and spinners.
Huh. Yeah, well, that's the cheaters and the Hobies. If you own a Hobie, I'm not hating. It's just that, you know, those guys can cover a lot of water. Usually.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
he just
they're running
at a
constant.
Through the, along, like, the edge from
yeah.
Where the water is, where it goes from, like, around 40 feet to, like, I don't know, I guess in that area it's, like, around 40 feet to, like, 190 feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a deep hole.
I don't know. He finds that ledge, and he just drives on it and trolls the whole time.
Yeah.
And he takes a lot of fish out of there.
Another great one would be a drop
that area
shot.
Nothing.
Try using a drop shot.
I don't know what that is. That's something that you
shot,
would match something.
Yeah, what a drop... I'll break down a drop shot. A drop shot's basically a cheater rig if you're fishing saltwater. Basically what it is you run a leader, and then you tie on your hook using a dropper loop or a Palomar straight to the line. About 18 inches down, you're going to tie on a weight. Usually, when I'm doing it during the summertime, I'm usually using a half ounce. But if you're in that deep of water, I'd use an ounce.
Okay.
And, you know, there's some great videos out there. I'll put a how-to on Yak Angler, folks, in the next couple of days on drop shotting, because it's a great technique during the winter also when you're working suspended bass and you're fishing them vertically. It works really, really well. And then get yourself some 4-inch or 2 to 4-inch flukes. Zoom makes some great ones, and hook them up onto a 1-aught octopus hook is what you want to tie on the drop shot line. Hook it. I'll show you how to do it on Yak Angler. And then you're going to
cool.
drop that down and work that through the school or cast it towards the shallower part of the ledge and bring it all the way back, you know, on the bottom. And you'll be surprised if they're on the bottom, per se.
Right.
But if you catch them on cranks and stuff like that means that they're suspended, then I would run a rattle trap.
Okay. Yeah, I've trolled rattle traps and didn't pick up much. And it's usually, I don't know, this guy, he says that he uses mainly only white and green colors all season round, and he catches fish.
Yeah, that means you guys have some greenback shad. Then I would go with, I'm a major, I love the red-eye shads from Strike King. It's the Sexy Ghost Shad, I think it is. It's
yeah,
one with greenback on it.
Get what color it is though. I know it's green.
It's a really good
out.
Color. A
what?
Good color for the hybrids. When the water is not muddy, is the Fire Tiger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they like to eat the smaller crustaceans that are in the lakes.
Fire.
And they usually have a reddish hue to them. I threw that rattle trap, and you're going to actually want to work it like you do during the summertime. Cast it out, let it sink a little bit, and then just burn it back in. You're going to cover a lot more water with the trap than you will a drop shot. And you'll be surprised at, you know, what you'll catch with it too. Like I said, if you're working deep water like that, you have to have a fish finder. Find the schools, find the fish, and then work that area.
I guess I'm not
tiring
the kayak for the winter because I'm definitely going to go try that this weekend.
There you go, man. There's always something to fish for this time of year. I know that...
There's nobody out on this lake, man. It's called Spruce Run. It's, like, right in the middle of New Jersey.
Right.
It's a reservoir. It's very deep. Very deep in spots. I know all the areas to fish. It's just I can't catch the hybrids. Caught tons of largemouth out of there, tons of perch, tons of crappie, and all nice-sized fish. I caught a crappie out of there that was 13 and a half inches this summer.
Wow.
That's
a big crappie. You know what also worked would be like a cast master. Quarter half ounce cast master
right.
with or a Hopkins, you know, spoon. And, you know, same idea. Cast it out, let it sink, you know, down, and then, you know, rip it, you know, almost to the surface and let it sink again. Rip it, bring it, you know, all the way through the school or through that ledge, and, you know, that would be another option for you. You know, what you're looking to do is imitate the bait fish that they're feeding on. Those hybrids like to eat shad, bluegill, baby bass, stuff like that. And they're going to be deep. And or on the surface, because they can tolerate the cold better, and you know, temperature changes. So like
sure.
I said, fish finder is key for those deeper reservoirs where you can sit there and really, you know, I wouldn't fish an area unless I started seeing fish on the grass, you know, and substantial marks. If it was one or two, I wouldn't really bother with it per se. But if I got over top of them and there's, you know, one big mark and a bunch of smaller marks around this bait ball and it's suspended off the bottom, I can tell you right now what I start throwing. I start throwing a rattle trap, and then just for giggles, I take that spoon and put it in the rod holder, drop it down to where I thought they were at, click it off, loosen the drag a little bit, and then keep casting the rattle trap.
Yeah, just from the motion of the boat, it's going to move the spoon enough. Right.
Just, you know, like they do in ice fishing where they barely move it, but they catch fish. You know, so this way I'm running two baits, and because you're probably not going to be able to anchor if you're sitting at 190 feet.
No, it'll be a little bit tough.
You know, you're going to float through them because the rattle trap's going to pull you, and you watch the graph, okay, I'm done being over top of them. I wouldn't even reel it up. I just turn right back around, you know, to where my heading was and go back through it again. You
right.
know, and you'd be surprised, you know, if you'll catch one on the trap, and then all of a sudden your other rod's going off, and that's when it starts getting fun, you know. So, all ideas that you can, you know, mold through now. I one rod I'd have a trap, one rod I'd have a bucktail. Of course, I carry like six rods, so I'm going to put a spinner bait on there with the probably. Silver willow leaf blades or Indiana. I go with Indiana blades if I can find them. You know, two big Indiana blades, half ounce to three quarters of an ounce with all white body and trailer would be on another one. Another rod, I throw probably a half ounce jig head with a shad color, probably a clear body with a brown back. Swim bait, you know, as another one, spoon, drop shot would be on another one. You know, I'd have all these things because if I run through the school and I'm not getting bit, I'll switch right back up to the spinner bait, and I'll throw the spinner bait. Then I hit that, I'll switch to the spoon, I'll switch to something else, and just keep switching until I find what they're eating. And if I can, and if I can push it through the spoon. Or can push the bait through the school of bait, I'm going to try to snag one of those baits and bring it back in and take a look at it. And I go, okay, they're eating 6-inch baits. That means I got to bulk up what I'm using because they're not going to eat this little 2-inch bait. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
if you can snag
exactly.
a bait, you'll be golden. But that's where I would start with it.
Yeah, this time you can't see the bait really. So that's, yeah, exactly. Especially that deep water, you need the fish finder.
Yeah. And
I appreciate all the pointers. I'm definitely going to go out this weekend and check it out.
Cool, man. And definitely let us know how you do.
All right, we'll do.
Cool, man.
I have to buy some new tackle now, but that's about it.
What's a local tackle shop?
$200 worth, being all that you just explained.
I would start with, you know, if you already have a couple spinner baits, you know, don't. I want to go out and buy them. If you already have the spoons and tins and stuff like that, you know, just use the stuff you use for salt water. Just remember that, you know, it's a lake and it's got to work a little differently, that's all. But yeah, that's where I would start.
Yeah, especially when I snag like a huge tree that's at the bottom. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, that kind of sucks. But the crankbaits, if you can find a crankbait with the biggest bill on it, I would use that too as an option. But you don't have to run out and buy one.
I have a lot of crankbaits that I usually troll with that large bill so I can get the depth.
Right.
Fishing in the mid-spring to, like, in the summer, I use, like, the big lip crankbaits. Because it gets down there deep where it seems the fish always hang.
Right.
And still, I haven't caught a hybrid bass net, like, yet, and it's full of them.
We'll try this next time. Put a half-ounce mullet weight on the line first, and then the crankbait. It'll actually make that crankbait dive a lot deeper. And plus, you have extra weight when you cast.
Bobber. I was doing that exact thing. I don't know if you ever heard of bullet bobbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was using those, and I had about 20 feet of line past the bullet bobber, and I would just drop it in and then troll it around like that with weight on a crankbait just to get, like, really far down there. And then that way I can let the bullet bobber do its work and shift the, you know, pattern that it moves so it's not just following me.
Right.
And I've caught a lot of largemouth bass on that kind of setup. But I still can't get those hybrids that are just hiding down there from me.
Yeah, they can be pickle sometimes, but usually once you can find what they want, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, man. Because you stay in that school and work them over, you can catch 15 to 20 fish, you know, with ice on your kayak easily. So.
Well, that would be my New Year's resolution then.
There you go, man. There you go.
Oh, it was great talking. Thanks for having me on Kayak Fishing Radio. I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, man.
We're all winners.
Feel free to call.
No doubt. Well, have a happy new year. I'll try
you
to get
too,
on for the special show that you're advertising.
All right.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. All right, folks. With that, I think we covered that portion of the winter fishing tonight. We're going to call it. I'd like to thank Paddle Trucker for joining us and Jason Self. Absolute pleasure having you on, guys. To the ones that were screwing with me in the chat room, you know how I feel about that. Anyway, to the Loziers, thank you again. To Greg, congratulations on getting the Malibu Pro Staff. To Rob, best of luck to you, man. Great to have you on. And shameless plugs of the night, kayakkevin.com. Check him out. Definitely check out angling-addict.com, Rob Choi's blog, abadbadcast.com, Rob DeVore's blog, yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource. Go there to catch all of our tips and tricks written down. Because we're all members. Check out Kayak Bass Fishing. Check out Marshworks. Check out Bass Pro. Local shops, Ocean Z's, Virginia Beach Tackle. Love them all, folks. Anyway, that's it for the show tonight. I'm going to take it out with Kayak Kevin's intro. And I hope everyone has a great night. Catch you tomorrow night, Thursday, 8 o'clock, the original Kayak Fishing Radio Show with Chip Gibson. And with that, I say adieu. Night, everybody.